Father, we thank you for everyone in this place. We ask and receive spirit of wisdom, revelation and the knowledge of you in this meeting. The eyes of our understanding and our hearts are open and enlightened to receive of you and to receive from you. In this meeting, our hearts find clarity and direction into the fulfillment of your plan and your will for our lives in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and we receive with great meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. We thank you for what you are doing, what you will do, what you have done. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone says, amen. Okay, so we are going to be moving right into our meeting. I'm trusting that these conversations are going to set our hearts in the right motion. And it's as well going to instill some order in our church. So, that's what this meeting is going to do. And, like Kenneth Hagin says, and he always will say, there are different kinds of meetings. So I'm just trying to flow with every kind of meeting. You know, you can't go for an evangelistic meeting and you're speaking in tongues to the people. Of course, tongues is good, but not for evangelism. So that's why I intentionally did not want to create an atmosphere for something else, because I wanted to stick to the fact that it was a workers' meeting. Now, we can have a workers' meeting tailored in any way to suit our needs as a church. But this workers' meeting, I wanted to have us some very, very important conversations. And I believe this will bless you so very much. So there are Holy Ghost meetings. Because in this meeting, the Holy Ghost is giving a free course. So we are going to be taking some time to look at some very important things as a church. And of course, there are Holy Ghost meetings where the Spirit of God is giving a free course. The Holy Spirit is allowed to flow. You know, we see demonstrations of the power of God in these meetings. Then there are also evangelistic meetings where there are tracts, God's word preached. You know, when I was coming from a place and I saw, you know, people with placards holding it in sun. And I tried to read it very quickly, but I couldn't. So then I was asking myself, I just don't want to say what they are doing. It's good. It's like, okay, well, if you want to create an awareness, but that cannot be it. Because I try to read quickly, but shum, the chat passed. Shum, another chat passed. And there was one man with a very heavy pot belly standing there with you know, the placard. And I was like, okay. See, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How does that say? So I kept on thinking, I was like, I was not able to read this. And I'm wondering how many people are going to be able to read it. So I thought, I was like, okay, if I were to have something like this, I'll make other people preach. Like, go out, let's have you talking to people. Right? Now, it doesn't mean I'm against them. Absolutely. But I just thought to myself, I was analyzing the whole situation in myself, wondering how that was going to be a message. And if that was the message at all. You know, it's easy to say, I'm just going to be talking to you. It's easy to say, don't judge. No, but what is being done will not yield fruits. Do you understand? So they are evangelistic and outreach ministers. Imagine Jesus also giving his disciples small words, inspiration, to stand there. No, he puts them in twos and he sends them out to preach. And they went and preached. And there were signs and wonders that accompanied or backed preaching. So while in fact that is not wrong, just wasn't Jesus' method of handling things. Then there are also prayer meetings where more emphasis is given to prayer. Exclusively. We are only praying. When you start to talk too much, they're like, ooh. Then there are teaching meetings where God's word is giving emphasis. In fact, longer hours. We're just teaching. Then there are camp meetings where people are saved from the drudgeries of the day, you know, the busyness that comes with the day. They're camped at a place, put there. And those meetings are actually very effective meetings because before you shut down for 3 days or 4 days, your mind is away from what your boss has to do or what your boss has to say. Some of us, we have bosses where when we come to companies, they still sort of, have you finished the last thing you did the last time? Right? But it has never worked with me. The day you allow me to go, King. It's the day I'm supposed to arrive that you hear me. That's all. That's all. So, they are also camp meetings. Then they are also workers meetings, workers congresses. Now, this is that type of meeting. Is workers congress or workers meeting. And during workers meetings, what we're going to be doing is that primarily, the people who gather are going to be, or is, the workforce of the church. So, the people who gather are the ones going to be running the activities of a church. Or, they are the ones that run the activities, either of the way, whether they are going to, whether they are still the force of the church. Is a work force. Work force. We can say it's a force for a work. You know, the power with which the work runs or thrives is the workforce. So, you know, every company has a workforce, right? Yes. So they have, you know, when you go to the hospital, you're going to see pharmacists, right? You have doctors. You have what? Nurses, medical laboratories, microbiologists, right? Those are the workforce of the hospital. Now, if you entered as a mason with your attire, you still are a workforce, but you are not that workforce. So you might just have to sit down and let them check your BP and all of that, your sugar and all of that. Cement is in your hand together, mixed with concrete. But that's not, you're not a workforce. You're not somebody that runs the company. Right? So, when you have a construction company, has a workforce. My dad used to have a workforce. These comprised of masons, carpenters, painters, which are second. Painters, they can't always be there because they are only there to paint. So, he would probably get a contract, draws out the building plan, and then he has a workforce. And I remember those times, there was a man called Uncle Richard. You saw his muscles, my God. He had very heavy muscles. And because they were Adventists, they don't work from Friday in the evening. That was kind of thing. So Friday in the evening, they believe that it's Saturday. Like it's into Saturday. So Saturday they don't work. Then they wake up very early in the morning, like 5 a.m. And then they get to work. These people could really work. Yeah, could really work. Carry the mortar, things together, the cements, everything. And they did it very much quickly. Yeah. Especially when you tell them that they have to finish it before a time. That's a workforce. They are responsible for making it work. They are the reason why the company runs. It's a workforce. I remember one of the workforce members could really eat. Yes. He could really eat. Like he could eat like 5 balls of bangle. Like I'm not talking about, you know, bangle balls, sometimes they are just minimal. I think Accra, the way they do the bangle is very minimal. In Tamale, it's big. One. So by the time you say you're eating two, it's like everybody's afraid. But Accra, the balls are just small. Right? And that guy did like four. Yes. And he could really work. Amongst them, he could really work. And he was very short. With a bulged stomach. He could work. It wasn't a joke. He could work. No. Amongst all of them, they gave a testimony that this guy can really work. And the way he works is how he eats. So, there is a workforce. And those guys can really eat. Amazing. Because they are a workforce. So, they make sure that the building plan is finished. Sometimes they have to work late into the evening. I remember one time I was passing by a place. Yeah, I think it was around this period. And it was in the evening. Quite late because we had finished the setup or something.
Yeah.
And they were working late in the evening with lights all over. So I turned to them and I said, what strategy are they using? I taught you on strategy. I asked them, what strategy are they using? Those are all night. They were working through the night, utilizing the night moments. Yes. So those of you who like to sleep, at night. The night is not just for sleep. Yeah, it's not just for sleep. In fact, many things can be achieved in the night. I can tell you how many discoveries happen at late night hours or early dawn hours. There's so many of them. Not
I discovered this at 10 a.m. in the morning.
Many of the times were late in the night. So
the church in itself, in its building and in its structure, also has a workforce.
Has a workforce.
A workforce.
A workforce. People that make it happen.
People that portray the culture, the values,
the beliefs of the company with which they work for. Have you seen that when you meet people who are in construction sites, they all have certain flow. Right?
Right.
Okay, the two media standards. Let me show you something. You see, so when they stand up like that, can you see that they have something identifiable? That's an example. They portray something that needs to be achieved. So
they have black, right?
With green reflectors. It means that when you see black and black with green reflectors, that's a workforce. Now, that dress you see them wearing, there's heat in that dress. Because it's a force. There's heat in that dress. So the moment you put that dress on, there is a certain heat that comes to it. So when you see black
green reflectors,
it's a force.
You know, one time, great man
shares an experience where he had pastors, and he used to teach them loyalty, and they were not listening. So you know what he did? He sent one of the pastors to another branch, so that he would just taste and see, and he took him to a disloyal place. So he took him, then he brought him back. So by the time he brought him back, he now started teaching it more than anybody else in the church. So
that's a workforce.
So you see, they have a similar attire, right? If I'm going to teach this workforce to be very strong, because some of us blow equipment and things, and we can't keep buying equipment. So when I say that force is a hard force, when you pass it, they should look at you in a certain way, like, this wire you are crossing, this place you are passing, you need to be very careful. It's a workforce. They give us good sound. So it's a workforce. They are supposed to be thinking in a certain way. That's an example of a workforce.
Take your seat.
So you see that every church has a force. And I can tell you, the extent to which the force is effective is the extent to which the church will do well.
Yes.
The extent to which the church is active, the force of the church is active, is the extent to which the church will do well. One time I carried a few of my workforce to another workforce to go and just see something. And they were amazed.
Yes.
They were amazed. We got there.
What time did we get there?
Around 9. And the place was alive as though they had just finished service. Choir meetings were happening. It determines how far that church will go.
Yes.
But when you are saying that, some of you, when you are 30 minutes or an hour to time, you are visually closed. In your mind, you have shut down. Every other thing else, unless the next day, but as for 1 hour before time, you are closed. Even when people come talk to you, say, no, see the next person. Somebody who is there, so just wait for them. They will attend to you, Karen. Like it won't be long. The next one. Just go to the next one. And
when I was working, I realized that
maybe if I'm closing at 4, I always ended up leaving 4:40, 4:50, almost 5 o'clock.
Yes,
many of the times. Then I devised the strategy.
I realized that people always come in around 3:50 with long issues
that get you into the 4:30s and 4:40s and 4:50s and 5 o'clock. Just when you are about to close. So I devised strategy and I said that once I'm not going to look at any
major.
I'll just say, please, I beg you, handle this one for me. My head is spinning.
Okay.
Okay, that one we can work with it. My back. Okay. But then when you say, I have some reports, you're about to enter into it. So there's a workforce, right? I'm trying to explain all of this to you so you will appreciate how important it is to be part of the church's workforce. It's like you become God's workman. You become God's workman. And before I actually, we've not actually started. What I intend to teach you, I'm just trying to prepare your hearts. Workforce. So if you're here today, I want you to see yourselves as a workforce. You know, I went somewhere. And normally, I pay attention to a lot of things that are happening around. And I went with a number, that was about 10 people. And what was looking at the people, he said, there's something different here. It's like when you see it was actually Bishop's coming. When you see someone who's a worker, you just know. Even by the way they walk. There's just this sense of urgency. And we need to get it done. And we are very active in the place. So I was like, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, you would not see anyone who was a force. Like just walking slowly. It's like they're not eating. I'm talking about those who had muscles and those who did not have muscles. All of them had a peculiar sort of flow. Everywhere is just spills activity. A force. You almost cannot deny that this person is a worker. Like you see them, they are just all over the place. Active all over. I mean, all over the place. It's all over the place.
active all over the place. So I was like,
this is really serious.
Serious.
Bishop explains how that when he goes on crusades,
I need to get some loot. I need to get loot. Because this kind of the movement, it was amazing. And this is where I'm going to go with maybe 20.
Work. So you see how people can work
for God. And it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
So I saw, one of the things I saw was a force. You don't need to tell me that's a worker.
You don't need to tell me that's a worker. You don't need to tell me. You see,
active in the whole place. So I was wondering, maybe they give them something to eat.
So that I can give my people also something to eat. So that they can also become a boss.
They go into the outreaches of the villages and you see the men. These are not paid people. They are digging the ground to set up the lights that reflect very clearly for the outreach. It's a beautiful thing.
The women jumping on trees. You are saying, wow.
Women jumping on trees. See them sweating, like the place is air conditioned, but you see them sweating. And wet. So, I got to realize that if we are going to do well as a ministry, we need to get this right. I'm hoping I'll be able to communicate. We have four sessions, actually, but where I'm seeing this, I'm sure we'll do this too. Because I want to just relax and keep talking to you, right?
So,
if you are here, I want you to start becoming and seeing yourself a workforce. A workforce. And I'm telling you the truth. God is building you something very special. I tell you. You would never believe what you will become.
Yeah.
Some of you, they told you that in the next 5 or 10 years, you'll be running in mega things. You'll say, oh, Pastor, yes. Pastor, I've seen myself like that, but not in this light. But God is making you a force. He's making you a force. I'm telling you, a strong force. So if you are in this place, you will see yourself a workforce.
This is like an introduction into what we're going to be talking about.
You see yourself
a workforce.
A workforce.
Workforce.
Just while you're sitting, pray that should make you effective in his workforce. You just don't want to be in the number. Yes. You just don't want to be in the number. You just don't want to be in the number. You want to be a force. A force. Somebody that becomes the reason why
His activities run and his activities move. Workforce. Lord, enlist me into your workforce for this church. For this church. We don't want to be just around. We want to be a force for your work. A force for your work in this place. Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited that you are a force for God? So, we're going to be looking at some very important things. And I trust that God's Spirit will have us looking at this very carefully. And while I was getting ready to come in, I was just trusting the Lord for what exactly He wanted us to hear in this workers' council. And I only got to realize that the conversations which we are going to have is going to be like a build up from our last workers' congress. So I thought it was going to be something simple. When I put it together, I got to realize that there was a continuation. So I believe God spoke, and then He paused, and then He waited for this meeting again so He can continue speaking. Right? Yes. So I figured out that you know, sometimes God speaks to you. He speaks to you verbally. He speaks to you maybe visions, pictorially. There are also times He speaks to you hearty. It's like you can almost sense this is what He wants to say to you. So I realized that if what I'm is right, I believe so. We are looking at some key attributes of God's workman. Key attributes of God's workman. I figured that these attributes will make any minister flawless in their service to us. These attributes will make you outstanding in your service to God. That means that a minister who embodies these attributes will serve with excellence. And he definitely will end up with a work done perfected. So we ought to realize that these attributes, I told you, they are four main. They are going to help us in our service to the Lord. Take your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians. Verses number 9 to 10, and then 11, and then 12. We're going to read. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Then he now says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed How he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now he builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's what? Work will become what? Clear. For the day will do what? Declare it. Because it will reveal by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So you see, you're not just working. There's a standard that is required of your work. You're not just serving God as his worker. He says that there is that day that is coming where your work, it is going to be determined whether it's of gold, it's of silver, it's of precious stones, it's of wood, it's of hay, it's of straw. Now when you go through the fire, what does it do? It refines, right? It's refined, right? But when you put it, when you put straw, what happens? It burns up completely. In fact, there are certain times you wouldn't even need to put the straw in the fire. You just need to put it close and you see it's already melting. So, as God's worker, there are specificities that are required for the work that you do. You don't just work for him. And that's why when we just, you know, do it anyhow. We just want to, they say we should do that thing. If you don't do it, you know, trouble. So let us just do it quickly. No. Actually, Paul contextually is not speaking about this, but he speaks also about a work that will be tried. Now he says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, it means that if it's able to stand the trying and the testing of the fire there actually will depict how serious the testing is going to be. Because we want to know what sort of a work that you did. It's not just some work, you just want to work and then just go. No, there's a sort of a work that is required or that is needed for you to do. And then it will be scrutinized. Highly scrutinized. Part of the scrutinization process is that he likens the experience of all of these ornaments, gold, silver, precious stones, right? Wood. Hey, you see, wood, when you pass through fire, it seems like it's able to withstand, right? But over time, you realize, no, it's not it.
it's not evil. So there is going to be a strict scrutinization of what sort of a work that you did. Almost like you going for US visa. See how they scrutinize you. Canadian visa. They ask you every kind of, sometimes they even don't ask you. By your sight alone, you are straight. They are strong. Like when they sneeze,
now this person is strong. This one cannot go.
So they look at,
someone was telling me that, man of God,
the woman was telling me, I heard it from someone, one of the cases, but the person was saying that the lady didn't even look at him. Like when I say look at him, like in 1 second, she had already concluded that you are not going. So he told the lady that, he was very confident, he's a man of God, so he wants maybe to be like spiritual. He told the lady that, at least let me talk.
You've not even heard me say there. You are already saying you are refusing me the visa.
Yes, you will never refuse visa in Jesus' name.
Yes. If it's of God, you go. Yes.
Oh, it's not a good prayer. Oh, the way you are laughing, it's like, but it's a good prayer. I just said, if it's of God, it's a very good prayer.
So you see that? Each man's work will pass through fire. Now, we don't know whether that's going to be an activity, but we know how severe that scrutinization is going to be. Then he says in verse 14, if anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures. Can we read that together? He will receive a reward. Right? So you are going to be receiving a reward if your work should stand. What sort of a work are you doing for God?
As God's worker or as God's workman?
If the work that you work. Stand.
Oh, then there are rewards of that work.
If your work is like straw and it strays off the original standard,
it's going to be very dangerous, you know.
So your work will be tested. If it endures, you will receive a reward. Now the word work there, we're going to look at it,
is a word agon from our last thing.
Are you sure? Deed. Doing.
E-R-G-O-N. Or egon, right?
So these are deeds. These are doings. These are labors. One's business or employment. Then he now says, your work is going to be tried and tested to know what sort of work that has been done. If your work prevails, then there is a reward. But if it falls off like straw, it means that you didn't have any work. You didn't do any work. Now, if we are going to have someone completed in gold, it means that we're going to have someone who at least can stand the trying test of the fire. And it's going to come out purified and true. Strong will not prevail. So we're going to be looking at these attributes that make you go.
Many years ago.
How many years?
Maybe not 7 years, but at least
a little over 7 years.
I had a dream of this scripture. I didn't even know it existed.
Yes.
And in this dream, I saw you know, a fire. I saw a fire that burned heavily. And I saw me standing, and there were several other people standing in that same stairs. And from afar, I literally could see people walk into the fire, and they just melt down. So it continued happening. I saw different kinds of people as my mind would make me recall. And then it got to my team. This thing I'm telling you, I think Pastor Prince will be able to tell you. I don't know if I share it. So it got to my tent. And I was also plated in an ornament. Waiting for me. I was plated in a human. I was a human. Normal human. I saw other humans going through. So it was time for me to also go through. I always don't tell that part of the story. If you have been around, I always don't tell it. And whatever happened, happened.
Yes.
So when I woke up, I said, hey, what is this? What does this dream mean? Then years later, I now stumbled on the scripture. Then it now occurred to me. That's what Paul was trying to say. Now, he doesn't say that's going to happen exactly. That's not what he says. But he's using all of those to explain what will transpire with the work that you have. So, if you stand before God and there's no fire, don't say that pastor lied to me. They said there was a fire. No, he just uses that to explain how serious scrutinizing is going to be, right? So, what work are you going to have? What are you going to be part of? I mean, what are you going to produce? So these attributes are going to be helping us to be effective workers in God's church. Real workmen. So that you don't labor in vain. You don't labor in vain. You don't work for nothing. So we're going to be looking at the
first
shot. Gonna give them to you. Number one.
Our first.
Workers rooted in faithful service. Workers rooted in faithful service. Workers rooted in faithful service. Now I've taught you Mark's faithfulness, but that's more general. I'm now bringing it into the exact work that we have here. You understand? So workers rooted in faithful service. Now when you say someone is faithful, the person is true. Listen, it's true. The person is sure. Have you heard?
Too sure.
It means that when they give you those two numbers, your life has changed. But many of the times, the two sure's don't come. You know, I watched one funny video. The guy was
on social media telling everybody
that if you don't know and you come to him,
You tell them that you have anything. Is it too sure or too bad or something? It was my bet or is that sure? He says that he's going to kill you. Because everybody comes in their tent like this one. It will 49-2. Single 249. It would.
There would be a story. Don't tell my mother I shared it.
Somebody came to her like that. The person gave her two shots. That means that. Sure means that no matter what happens, it will be sure. Some of your fathers have played sure. My grandfather played sure. I used to be you, but now I don't know. He said I used to get a lot of wings, but now he doesn't know why. It's like the wings are capsized. Don't do those things. So when they give you sure, it means that those numbers are faithful to whatever it is they say will come. My bet, he said 4-2, 3-2, 1-1. It's three. It's very sure that those are the score lines. Then you ask the person, are you sure it will play? Charlie, go play. You know they trust.
Really trust.
Then you also put some money, your last money on it. Some of you are doing it. You are laughing here. But from today, don't do it again. Lift up your hand if you have ever tried a two sure before. Just don't be shy. Oh, me, I've tried some before. You see, now they are lifting up their hands. So those who have not lifted up your hands, they've never. You have never. Let me see my hand. Just say the truth. Don't hide it. Who is at the back there? I can't see the person very well. They'll bring you the number and say, Charlie, this one, you go play. Today, go play. You realize that the sure is not that sure. So when you find somebody who is sure, the person is true. The person is believing.
Write that down.
Try to get some words for you. Believing. I have a very holy conversation. Never, only just you. But don't bet. See, take it from me. Don't bet. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Take my advice. Rather than bet, just put the money down. Yes, don't bet. I said, don't bet. See, you keep putting money in the quest to regain all the money you've lost. But they keep getting the money. Yes. Somebody put money into it. And they mess the business. The guy, oh. You can't believe that. They've had that one too. Yes. He fell to the back. He just fell down. He's dead. He's dead. His whole life is messed up because of that. So please, as a church, we don't bet. Everybody, lift up your hand. Say, Father, I will not bet again. I'll keep my money to myself. I'm going to pray this prayer, but your bets will not hit.
Bets will not hit.
We are holy people.
We are separate.
Your bets will not hit. Anytime you put bets, they will chop your money.
liars.
They are not saying anything. So I saw.
Nobody's a game, actually. Don't play such games.
Just use your money for something important.
Build a business. Invest into something. But don't have those. Are you listening? Like, take my advice. It's a very, very serious addiction. Many people are struggling. It's an addiction on its own. Like, any medications. Some will sell their things, sell their houses, pick up their investments, invest in events that will never yield anything. And they show you one person who has won, or you know one person who has won. Don't be that person. Just work hard. God is going to bless you. Right? He has blessed you. So just work hard. You'll make money.
So don't worry about bets, all of this.
I remember one time. That's what actually I'm talking about. We're just talking. I was sitting somewhere and somebody sent me a message. I don't know where the message was. And the person said that. Hello. A very, very tight message, very clear and very non-confusing. It means that it's clear, it's convincing. This is if you join this, we want you to work, write out three articles or something, something for this series. Those are other genuine sources. So I just said, okay, let me just flow with it. It was on Telegram, and you know Telegram, they have a lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense. 2 days ago, I stumbled on a nonsense. Yes, don't watch pornographic things. They send you personal things. Yes, before you open it, it's pornographic. Yeah, so don't listen to it. Your picture is somewhere, something. You open it, it's a pornography. I saw it 2 days ago. Yes, don't do it. So they sent me a message. That's how I actually downloaded it on Telegram. I was not. That's how I did. So they sent me a message that the thing is on Telegram. So I also went to download the Telegram. And they took my details. And I said, hey, oh, it's the hand of God that is coming upon me. So I also followed. I'm talking about recent incidents. Yes, recent. Maybe a month or two ago. I even told some of the ladies that, I said, come and see. They said that if I work, right now, I said, let me just follow. I was going to play along. So they asked me to go and do some voting. I'm sure some of you have done some before, have you? None of you. Look, I was thinking of being the very first person. Then I'll employ church members. Yes. Not employ you per se, but some of you need jobs. So I just said, okay, let me just see. I'll be the test and I'll put you. So they sent me this. They vote for this, I'll vote. Okay, say yes to this, I'll say. They'll tell me, oh, it was very real. Right. An article about this hotel. Give your reservations about the hotel. And I said, yes, I'm a pastor. I don't lie. If I've not been to the hotel, I can't say I've been there. But I said no. But wisdom is profitable. So I typed a message that communicated the fact that I'm there. But I've seen it on the internet. And the hotels were real hotels. I've seen it on the, I went to the hotel, saw the hotels. Then I said, I think it would be good for anybody who needs luxurious. And so I did the message like I was not there before, but I recommend that you can go and enjoy yourself. And they sent me 30 CDs. Hey, 30, you didn't do anything. 30. So I followed again. You didn't do anything. 30 CDs. Yeah. And they said I could have over whatever number of writings a day, and I'll just get it. And it's going to increase. Yes. So I did it again. And they sent me 30 CDs. Yes. So I now have 60 CDs. Yes. And then another administrator, I think he's the chief coin man.
He now came to me and he said that at this stage where you have created this business, you have to involve, you have to send us 900. I said, but where? Me, man. Man. So you know what? I rather scam them. Yes. That was the end of it. So when I saw that they sent me a message on Telegram that my picture was happening, I thought they had put my picture there. So you know the Telegram message, they sent you a Telegram message that your picture is somewhere. My heart's gone. I started putting boom, boom, boom. But if my picture is there, I had to follow to see if my picture were there. And I realized that the picture wasn't there. It was not true. Yes. So I'm just telling you that you have to be careful. You see that? I thought it was genuine money. And it looked like genuine money. They'll send you messages of people testifying. Yeah. A group about maybe close to 1,000 people. You see messages coming in from different people, different pictures, 4,500, 6,000. You might never know. I'm prophesying to you. Before you realize your 7,000 is about to go. And I'm prophesying to you. Yes, it will happen. So when it happens, you say, Pastor said this thing. So after the 66, I didn't play again. That was the end of it. And I never went again. Yes. So those things are not true.
Yeah.
Untrue. What I'm saying is true. I can show you.
After the 66, this has to bring 900. I said, no.
900 for what? 900. Write this. A person who shows themselves faithful in transactions or business.
So that's a faithful man.
Worthy of trust.
You said you were employing me. Now you're saying I should say. Is that how it happened?
No. Doesn't work like that. So I made up,
I'll never do it again. If you have given 10,000 for to work for you and write out no rights. But there are other genuine sources where you write as I do. Those ones, they are genuine websites, genuine sources. But this one, I don't think it sounds the same to me. It's not true. Judge, give you 900 cents, you give me 4,000 something. I mean, where does this happen?
But you know, some of you, you believe. Because they've sent you 66. So, one that can be relied on. One you can confide in.
That's a faithful person.
We're talking about works rooted in faithful service. I don't know why I keep dwelling on this. But you know, get yourself involved in things that are only true. Are you listening? Get yourself involved in things that are only true. The Lord's blessing is on you. And you know, it's just a matter of time. And the lines are going to be falling in every pleasant place of your life. Don't get yourself involved in shady deals that are not right. Keep your heart right. For as you do this, the Lord's mighty help will be upon you to cause the things that He has said about you to come to pass. So be faithful in your transactions. Be faithful in the things that you have your hands on. Be faithful in everything that concerns your life. Jesus Christ. So a faithful servant will be
trusted, true, believe.
You show themselves faithful in the transaction of this. They are worthy of trust. Now, a faithful person is one you can rely on. One you can confide in. Can God trust you? Does God believe in you enough? Can God say about you that my servant is one of my two shields? No matter what happens, he's going to be there. Can God say these things about your service to him? You know, a reason was made by Cypher, network software. And it was more or less like a Sabbath. And then they asked every top business owner what they keenly look out for in their money. And it turned out that 69% of them actually rooted for men who were going to be faithful. 69% had the first thing they wanted in any of their managers was faithful. The person is true. The person is sure. The person is believing. When you give the person something, you will find it exactly that way. Some of us enter into homes and coins start getting missing. Miraculous. But how do you make money that is not yours? So, you are going to be true to whatever God is committing to you in his house. You're going to be believing. Somebody say, Pastor, how do I do it? Just start with whatever you have and wherever you are. So can we really rely on you? Can God rely on you? That's something I have to ask myself also. Can God trust push you? You know, quite recently, the Lord has started laying it on my heart for us to start having the outreach meeting. To go out to the secondary school. Go out to the bus stop area. He's wondering, can I trust you with this? Well, you're going to say, Father, we need some bigger platforms. Not going back into some secondary schools and standing at bus stops to preach in the evening on certain days. Is he going to be able to trust you? First Corinthians chapter 4. We're still in the same. So Paul is having a conversation around this. Speaks about how that our works are going to be tried and are going to be tested. I'm speaking of the first attribute that we need to pay attention. Please, those at the back, can you hear me loud and clear?
Okay.
In First Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, Paul makes a very key and important statement. He says in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. He considers himself a steward. A steward. So, Paul is a steward, likened to a manager. And more like the manager of a household. A steward. One that manages. One that takes care of. We're going to look at that word more in depth. But can God call you his steward? You know, some landlords are stewards. I think my landlord is a steward. I was told that one day, one of the guys came home late and opened the door at an ungodly hour. And he saw a steward with cutlass in front, ready to massacre. I said, wow! It means that he's going to cut you. And I thought he was very serious. Because previously, it looked like things had come to the house. But so he made up his mind that anybody who will come into that house. Trouble is this. So he has a class. He's a manager. Superintendent. Or he's a superintendent. A steward. One who is entrusted the manager of affairs. And that's how God, through Paul, is communicating that he is. Are you going to be a good steward of what God has entrusted you to? Are you sure? The work of preaching, the work of teaching, the work of evangelism. Discipleship. What we have here as a ministry. Are you going to keep it well? Then he announces it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, trustworthy, true, believing, sure. Always up to task and doing what has been entrusted. Let's go back to verse 1. Let a man so consider us. So Paul is saying that the church in Corinth should consider he and others who serve in the gospel as servants. As servants. You know, the word servant actually, I realized that it was not doulos. Doulos is the common one. It means born servant, one who is given. The word servant actually is more like somebody who works under a manager with him. So it's almost like you're working under him with him, where he gives out instructions and then you carry out those instructions. Right? So he says, we are servants, but we have a master. There's somebody that we serve. by the commands that we receive from Him. So, as we execute those commands, 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 it's servanthood. So, Paul is not seeing himself like a celebrity star. A celebrity star.
Yo, yeah, today, come on, you say, yeah.
That's a celebrity. Right?
I saw something, I was like, wow.
This is really beautiful, you know?
Okay, let me stick to my teaching.
So you're not a celebrity. Neither are you. David, neither are you whiskey, neither are you sarcody.
No, you are
a servant. One that works together with God. So, in addition to who a servant is, he says he's also a steward. So he works together with God. Now that's what he says the church in Corinth should see him and other apostles as well. Or other people who serve with him as servants and as stewards. Now definitely he's going to be making sure that wholesome or sound words are preached every time. Because he lays emphasis on that. Stewards of the mysteries of God. So in relation to this,
Right.
This is what he's going to be doing. He's going to be a servant. Then a good steward. And the word actually was used more for, you know, in a house, there is the owner of the house. Then there are slaves. Then amongst the slaves, there is sort of like a chief slave. You see that? That's how the word there was. So, you're going to be working together with the master to ensure that things are rightly done with what he has instructed you to do. So, of course, you're going to be regulating. Though you're a slave, there's sort of like a responsibility that is further put on you to make sure that the master's demands are executed. So the master says, every day, I want us to have 5 bags of rice cooked for everyone in the family, with 4 ladles each for every slave. So the sort of like chief slave takes the master's command, executes the master's command, not 6 bags,
because you just add 1 bag, because the 5, you really know the catch.
No. Right? So he says, no, master says 5, so we want 5. So he takes the 5, puts it in, then you know there are some people who say, no, Then, no. Four ladders means what? So he's executing the demands of the master, right? So in the same way, we together in God's house, working with him, executing his instructions for the smooth run of his household. So while in fact we all are slaves, of course we are, and yes, sons in a sense, more, you know, there's a son, or there's a slave who understands that he's free, has all the liberties that are bound by other slaves, but he doesn't take them. Does that make a lot of sense?
So you don't say, okay, now, I can do whatever I want.
Yes, you can.
But you also cannot. So while there's a freedom, in that freedom,
are restrictions.
So while in fact you want to be free, and of course you are free, but you're
free
to do
whatever you want. You know, you won't really know the laws of Ghana until it catches you.
Someone was giving me a rundown of how much they pay for running across the traffic at certain specific areas. And I hear they take a lot of money. Not when you go to the station, standing there with the officer.
You beg, saying, only God can save you.
So even though you are free, nobody will stop you that.
Don't cross the traffic.
You cross it. After you are caught, you see that you are free, but you are really not free like that. The red means something. The yellow means something. The green also means something. But if you now say, red means
it's nonsense.
It's not everywhere pure. Everywhere pure.
Green, you decide to stand there.
So even though you are free, you're not
that free.
But you see, the ones who abide by the rules and regulations
are going to somewhat improve. You realize that?
They're just going to flow. There's no problem. There's no issue. They don't have any problem with anyone.
I remember when I was young, I shared the story last week. They just released the curfew in Tamale. And one man said, no, they can't tell him what to do.
Many years ago, and then this would have been 14. They showed him that he's free. But he's not free like that. So the next day, they used to call it Obiaran Koda. The next day, this man, nobody told him that he should stay in his home.
So you see,
there are slaves. But then there are also restrictions to that freedom. You only need to be invisible to be not free in an environment that is very free. You only need invisible. When I went to Bible school, the very expensive rates. If you came in 5 minutes after, 5 minutes,
10 minutes,
you'd be surprised. Yes. See the minister's plan.
It's too much. It is this law. Yes, that is what you study.
Yes. You exited yourself from school. Is it twice? You were sad. No arguments. That's when you see that it's not a joke like that. You are free.
Like get into class, enjoy the atmosphere, air conditions around, eat at any time, the people are smiling towards you. That's when I saw that people who really smile, they are very dangerous.
Yes, my director is like that.
Always smiling.
Until you get into a shoe, you get into a space. You realize that.
It's not a joke.
Unbelievable.
She's a test.
Yes. And she came. She went to Raymond.
You don't graduate my class, you're not going to complete the school.
I thought this woman was lying.
So.
until you get into a business, it will show you that you are free, but you are really not free. So Paul is saying that it is required in stewards, in handling what God has given to you, that one be found what?
Faithful. We fall in the same category. So there are works that are going to be committed to our hands in this way. And one of the things I'm telling you is that God requires you to be true. To be faithful. To be faithful. To be faithful. Faithfulness in preaching to the lost. Because Matthew 28. And we're going to read from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you're going to be great. Are you listening? Faithful to the message that's given you to preach. Faithful to the gospel. Faithful to what he has told you to do. It is required that you be found faithful. Faithful. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, is telling Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, be faithful to it, do the work of an evangelist. Be found faithfully preaching God's word and leading others to Jesus. Faithful to preach. These are activities of the ministry. Now we're going to be splitting ourselves into groups, but you know, there's a faithfulness that is required to this work. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody's faithfulness will go on the wall. You can't beat it. You know? Normally. I look at some people who have said God, and probably they say, there's nothing to show I've said God. And I say, hey, he's gone. He's very faithful. He will be faithful in his faith. Your rewards, whether on earth or whether, you know, when you stand before him, it's not going to go on reward. Your labor is not going to go on reward. He's very faithful, I'm telling you. So there's a faithfulness to the work. What's your response to evangelism and other outreaches? What's your faithfulness to the message that he has given to you? There's a faithfulness that you need to be found. Having a trait of faithfulness. You know, part of being a steward, a good steward of the mysteries of God, is learning also how to dispense it. It's learning how to preach it. To steward will not be only to hoard, it's also to give out when it's needed. So are you going to be a faithful servant of God? Or you're going to be an unfaithful person? Faithful to tax. Maybe, for example, there's an instrument. Like I said, I've never known, in all honesty, that you pay people who play instruments. I've never known that. I've never known that. I've played in church for years. I never knew that you, like someone, that you pay the person. Just come and sit down, and you just press, and we pay you. So you find people questioning us. Whatever it is they do for God, because they are not paying. Are you expecting a man to pay you? Or you're expecting God to reward you? I will never choose a man's reward. I know God is not too well. Just take this for granted. And that's always like a reward for your coming. The money you always receive is your reward. That's what you always receive. That's what you always, and that's what you never see. I never knew because I played. I never thought. Days when my pastor bought me juice, I was so blessed. Hey, fruit telling. I was blessed. I was very blessed. Juice. And it touched my soul. I said, wow. And you know, those juicy moments came in very handy because there were times I'll feel like, I really need to drink juice. And then when I go to check my pastor, this is also for, we asked them to buy me some. I was like, what? But he wasn't paying me. So are you going to be faithful to what God has given to you? Are you going to be faithful? Or you're going to just mama. Microphone
is doing. Speakers.
Nobody pays me for what I do here. And they can't tell me for this. The speakers are there. And these heavy speakers, see, we carry them on our heads. We carry them on our heads. Nobody pays us for carrying all these heavy speakers. I'm the only one just working. Nobody's working. Are you not the only one happy? Are you not happy you're the only one working for God? So these are very interesting things. I always believe
people do not really know who God is.
Because if you knew who God is, you would tremble to serve Him. You tremble. Like you tremble. You'll be glad to serve Him. I heard
that they are churches.
Now I don't have a problem with them, but I just heard the churches where choristers are paid, keyboardists are paid, drummers are paid, sound guys are paid, ushers and people who arrange paid.
So what is it, a website?
Understandable. Because when you have all of these people being paid, it's very serious. So the man gets there. He says, "What did you say? All of these people are paid. How would the church grow? Your building is rented. Your building is rented. This building, our building is rented. It has to pay you. Where would you get church building? Oh. Or you want?
You always want to be rented. Me, I don't want to rent. Honestly. As if I'm going to be truthful to you. I don't want to rent at all. How many of us will be happy in cement?
Even cement buildings that are not even plastic.
You will not be happy. You want air conditioning.
Oh, don't worry. Air conditioning.
So they are paid. Pastor says, you should go and check. One or two and
you deserve.
What's that?
What's that?
Lorry fair. People, everything. So what then will be the blessing of God in what you are doing in service to Him? It's required that steward of our faith. True, believe. Sure. Always available and present. You need it. I need it. Everybody needs it.
It's a key attribute of every minister.
Imagine if we all had to build all apostles and pastors for the revelation that He got. Already, they don't even want you to preach the message. And you say they should pay you $1,000.
$1,000.
Take down the dollars. So, man of God, make it $2,000. Our church is still a growing church. Please let me. Please, we don't even have thousand.
Oh, man of God, then your church is not ready to host you.
It's true.
They tell that your church is not ready. You don't have the logistics.
Wait, when you are ready, then you can come. We came to the wrong person.
I mean, you that many of the times when you go to places, they give you honorarium.
I never knew these things.
Just go and you are praying that God will bless you.
You'll be blessed.
That's all. Anything that comes, well, it's good. There's quite some extreme.
But
we do not have to be found pursuing other things that are not needed in what we are giving to you.
When we do that,
we find ourselves.
You should clap for me. If we're always going to be clapping for you, there'll be no change. We'll just gather and clap for you. So you're going to be found faithful. Are you listening?
Faithfulness to time and punctuality.
It's very important.
You show up consistently. It's one of the traits of a faithful ministry. in his house. Now, there are a lot of things, but like I said, we're always going to be looking at what the Spirit lays emphasis on, right?
Yes. What the Spirit lays emphasis on is what we're going to be looking at. You see that? We start service at 10:30. And you see the sound guys coming at 10:20. Panting and sweating. Trying to. Oh God, you're unfaithful. When I'm preaching, that's when you see them. They don't do that. They're trying to straighten wires.
Sorry, why not they? If this ship comes small, okay, at the ship, at the count. And they check like that speaker must be well for you. Pastor, who has a service, Pastor, to roast that speaker.
And many of the times you see that the person seems faithful. Because you come in late. It seems like you are doing something, but that's fine.
Because that is something you should have done. The service. I'm told some of you
move to the washroom to look at mirror.
You were one of the reasons why they locked that room, aside the fact that the things were choking, you were also part of the reason that you go there to stand and you take a thing and look at the mirror. And some and even some leave the service. To go and take a look at themselves. Then they come back into the service. So that we can look at them. It's really true.
I used to use my mom's lipstick, so I know how it's done.
I used to.
Then they check themselves.
No.
You know, when you're coming to church, what's your response to the service?
We're going to be looking at that. In the next session, I believe that the next session is where our princess.
What's your response in the service? When you're coming, how are you coming to the service?
No, you're coming to the service.
You are late.
And then you are cut off into the service.
It's really serious.
I shared with you a story. How we're going for reverence meetings.
Yaka.
And we're late. I was there with four boys. We started running from Opada the manage. Because normally they are light at the main stop. And we walk into like sporting to the venue. It was actually around. I'm telling you. In fact,
the boys behind me could not run again. You know that round where you think it's going to stop very soon. But it doesn't stop. It's to the venue.
So we got there. And they said they were not going to allow us to enter. Because we were late. We will leave. You don't enter the same. I said, so, sir, what's the next thing we have to do? Sit outside.
He brought us to.
And behold, I sat outside. But I had a group that was not far from
the creature, so I pushed the chain into one of the containers. I was sitting in a container like this. You know, they use containers. And I was in one of the containers. There was no visual, but there was hearing. And it was getting dark. So how I wrote, only God. But I was back.
Detailed.
I don't know where the others went to, but me, I found that spot. And I was there till the end of the service. I was not going to miss out on anything. But some of you are walking on service and you are late. And you are comfortable that you are late. You are confident in your lateness. You are confident, very confident. Yeah, like, show me.
No.
That's your work. That's what you are doing. And God sees your work and He sees your heart. You think you are doing it for me? You are not doing it for me. You cannot do this work for me. Even me, I'm not doing this work for myself. So, when you are pretentious, you are pretending to God. And you see, God, you can't really pretend to Him. A pretentious attitude. You come in late at any time because you have the opportunity to sit anywhere. Or probably have somebody save any seat for you. Nobody should save any seat for anybody. So it will be trying. See, try as hard as possible to be as true as possible. Be as true as possible. Be as true as possible. You know, reasons why I can't make things silent. Because it's deeply imprinted in my consciousness that God is dead. Where you are, God is dead. Yes, I really don't mind if I do something as men know. Doesn't move me. Oh yes, I'm very sure about that. If it's because men will know, it does not move me. It does not move me. But when I know God knows, that means even in my silence, I should know that God is there. In my senses, I know God is there. And I know His eyes are just right on me. That's why we can be fasting and some of you eat bread before you come to the service. Because you think nobody is what you did. And you clean your mouth. And you come into the service very confident. Why are you deceiving? You are deceiving God. You are deceiving us, but you can't deceive God. You eat heavily. You are in the service, mixed with us. Who are struggling. So when you you're going to see all these things. This is not punctual. This is not regular. Comes in at any time. Shows up any time. Handles things anyway. Doesn't care about anything that's happening. And I've always learned to put a lot of heart in what I do. Yes. I've learned to put a lot of heart in what I do. So when you see me do something, I do it a lot of times with my heart. If I will not do it, I will not do it. I will not waste my time. Yes, if I don't do it, I don't do it. That's why my desire for ministry, I made up my mind, I was going into ministry. I was looking at it. I was
not going to look at anything again.
Yes, I like to put my heart in things. So, when I commit something to you, and I find out you're unsure, you're an unbelieving person, we can't believe you. We give you something, we have to come and check. It has been done again. And check again. Let me tell you something. None of you here are children. Just put that in your mind.
I spoke about child like this. Now you know the context in which I speak.
That everything that you have to do, you are doing, we have to check. Find out if
is done well. Follow up if it's happening well. None of you are children. So when you are giving things to handle, you need to handle them very well. Stop believing that you are a child. Yes. Stop believing that you are a child. And that we still need to, you know, cuddle, you know, pick you, tell you to do this. Is it working? What's really talking to you? Still what ought to be found faith. You get into that room, then you see that it's messed up. Something should tell you that. Even when I get in there, I see that it's messed up. Let me handle it. That's a faithful person. That's a faithful person. We ask you to see the smart. You are present all the time. That's a faithful person. We give you something to handle. You handle it well. That's a faithful person. Play the keyboard, you play it and you play it well. That's a faithful person. We put you up in the follow-up unit. We say follow up on the people. You're always up to your task. That's a faithful person. You have disciples. There need to be 100 of them before you stay faithful, like teaching and preaching, following up and checking up on them. They don't need that. They don't need to be a lot. You stay faithful to what God has given you. One is okay. Until two happens, and five, and ten. But you are faithful with that one. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, when you meet somebody who is anointed by God, you will be confused whether the person is gifted. Or the person works very hard. It's a busy, deceiving thing. I mean, those who live with me, Sometimes, do you think that? Has it ever occurred to your mind whether I'm gifted or I work hard? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it ever occurred to you? If it has never occurred to you, just say whether you are maybe gifted. Pastor. Is it because of his hard work? Or is it because of a gift? Because you'll be confused. You will not really know whether the person is gifted. Or it's because the person works hard, that's why the person is gifted. So, from afar off, you will just probably see the manifestation of a gift, or maybe a certain person. I don't know, but something happened. But then when you come, like, close to the person, you see that it's very different. You see that it's very different. Has it? You think I'm a hard worker? Very hard. It's just that my work specification is different from yours. So maybe you go to work at 8 a.m. in the morning to maybe 5 p.m. in the evening, 6 p.m. in the evening, some 7, some 8, some close at 6, they come back like 8, 9. Some close at 7, they come back like 8, 9. Some close by 5, they home at 7. That's true. But you think I'm hard? Very hard? Very hard. But you not really know. We just sit here. We just say what we want to say, and we are just interested in different moments. If I didn't tell you that I've been away from home for 4 days, you would not know. I left home Monday. I came home like this. What was I doing? Ask yourself. I went to party. That's what I was doing. Is it a gift? Is it a wedding? What is it about? Sometimes you ask yourself, why? What is it? What is it? I mean, what is he looking for at all? Yeah, what's he looking for? But you will not know. You just see this. He's looking. What are you looking for? Sometimes I ask myself, what are you looking for? I don't even know myself. So you might not realize. Yes, you will not know. You will not know. You will not know.
When I used to work in the pharmacy,
I am far used now than I was then. I'm not lying to you.
Yes.
That one is far easier to do. If I'll be honest with you. I have a favorite song. It's called Aboni. I saw a song. And I tried Aboni some time ago. And it was very good. You can try it. I give you therapeutic. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yes. I have Aboni. But am I a footballer? Not a footballer. I don't play football. Do I play football? But why is that? So you will not really know. You say, is it really hard work? Or it is being, what is it? You will not really be sure. When you come closer, you will not be sure. You will not be very sure. You will even say that he's not anointed. It's just because he spends time in prayer, he prays, he studies. That is why. You will come to that conclusion. The thing that you say is a gift. You will say, no, it's not a gift. It's not a gift. It's not a gift. Because it is a gift. We shouldn't labor like this.
Say why?
That's why some people. You know, Pastor Princess, I went to stay with him. And he was speaking to his church. And he said, when you see from outside, you'll be thinking he doesn't do anything. No. This one. It was not. It's as difficult as your office work. Or even far more. Because your office work, you don't have to maintain certain things. It's just routine. This one, sometimes you are doing it and it's not sort of going the way you want it. So you have to change. Find something else to do. Look at something else. Discover something else. You know, Lord, is everything okay? Your heart in the right state with all that you are doing, inclusive. You know, you can be working on your heart is not good. With your work, your workplace. Like, you go. But you go because you are paid. The ministry doesn't work like that. The moment your heart starts to fail and wane, everything starts to go off.
Yeah,
everything starts to go off. See the people misbehaving. You can't even stop them. Just like priest congregation. It's like that. People are not praying. You two are probably not praying. A steward ought to be found faithful. That's why I said, those who are able to wear a lot of expenses, things for meetings and all of that, I really admire them. Because when I think about it, think about clothes again is another word for me. So it's real work. You see that? Real work. And you ought to be found also faithful as well. Now, I'm not sharing all of these things with you so that you will get to know whatever. I could have kept these things to myself alone. And I've always done that. Always. And you can ask anybody I've stayed with. That's my life. You can ask anybody I've stayed with before. That's how I like it. It's not pretentious. It's not a pretentious life. It's not pretentious. I'm not pretending to you. I'm not pretending to you.
That's why
miracles, healings, and all of these things, they cannot be faked.
Yes. And that's what I mean. Sometimes I see the miracles, I thank God, but I can't even jubilate or celebrate. You see that?
Because by the time you have trusted God for it,
and it's now happening, you just say, Lord,
thank you.
So, oh, he's an anointed.
If we put you there, you see that you will not be able to see what you're saying. I'm sharing these things with you so that in the work that has been committed to your hands, you will be found faithful. Are you listening? You'll be found faithful. You'll be found true.
And we break up all of these responsibilities in part. And we hand them over to you.
And I can tell that you're going to handle these responsibilities.
So there's a time, there's a punctuality
to it. Time, punctuality.
You need to be faithful in these areas.
So preaching and teaching.
The word. Faithful.
In time
and punctuality. Be always present. Be always present. Faithfulness to the call. Be always present. Always present.
You know, many of the times our work, our mind works differently. My mind used to work like that. But now my mind doesn't really work like that. Because anytime I'm going to a place, I realize that I didn't want to be there anymore. Is there anybody that falls in that category? You always long to be earlier than this. You want to be right.
Like,
you just want to enter the place and then everything starts.
And there are people like that, right?
But you know, majority of these people are going to end up going there late.
So, while in fact you have pictured that you want to enter when everything almost there, you realize that you hardly make it when it's there. Just if you are able to have that desire and execute it. But many of the times you enter late. You will enter late. Many of the times.
So then I got to see how I was thinking. I said no.
Then that means I had to change my mind from loving to be at places right on time. To love you, love to be there before the actual time.
So
I was like, okay. I was not going to see it as too serious. Some of us don't like to look too serious. Some like to look too serious. Like they're 30 minutes, 40 minutes before the time. 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But some also don't like that. They don't like that demeanor. It's too much of a serious person. So they will always want to come on. Right, on time. When everything is like that.
Yes, so today, then they just enter and they just sit down.
But you realize that it hardly happens like that.
I've realized that.
It's true. So, I'm going to encourage you. Start to be somebody that likes to go to places early. Place premium on being at places earlier than the normal time. Especially in those places like
Don't be the person that calculates to the exact minutes to which the event is going to be happening.
But you will get in there 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And that time you're going to be seen as like a very chronic, late comer.
Chronic.
So you're going to be there on time. 50 minutes into the service, 30 minutes into the service, you're already seated.
Yes. Because if you can do that for a visa, you can do that for class, you can do that for church as well. So don't be saying that I'll just enter. And pastor will be teaching. What happens to the prayer? What happens to the worship? What happens to the other meetings that's supposed to bless you? The services that are rendered to bless you. What happens to those? So you're going to be right there before the time. And I can tell. Do you know that? Is a dignifying thing to be there on time. Like to be there before the actual time.
It's communicating saying that serious.
This person is a really serious person. That's a steal. He's going to know how to put time in place. How many of us are going to be good stewards of our time? Let this thing affect your whole life. Yeah? It helps a lot. You can actually tell if somebody is going to be dedicated by how punctual they are. It's one of the basic signs of somebody who's careless. Punctuality is one of the big, you see it. Those of you who are managers, you see it. It's a very basic marker to the person you cannot trust. It's basic, but it's very true. I'm telling you the truth. It's very basic, but it's very true. When you search, you say that the person is a thief. You search, the person has a problem with something. When you go deeper, you find out there's something wrong somewhere. It's true. I'm giving you that. Assignments. Lose with time also mean lose with the amount as well. It's very true. Very loose with time will also communicate the same thing. Except that there are other reasons strong enough. But aside that, these are very basic. They're very basic. Means that the person will not be able to give and keep whatever it is. Hand over to them. How I got to know that I also used to be someone who liked to be the class just at that time.
Yes.
But I realized that there were some people in my class who were always on time. I said, these people. They came to school to learn. Jemima, where you always? How many majority of the times? Out of 10. How many times? She doesn't want to overrate. I should give you time to think about it. Okay, let me see. I should ask you that. Okay, so Louis, out of 10. Okay. You wait for the lecture. That means you are up. Then you enter.
Okay. But you are not late.
So that means you are always there at the right time. Okay. Then that's if you are always there. But I'm not saying that be there before the time. Be there before. Like train yourself. Before the time, actually. It speaks a lot. It's just that I think you have to ask someone. If I start asking someone.
7.5.
8. I think it's 8. No, I think it's Martina, how about you? Before, it's true. It's very true. I believe it, and I can attest to it, especially in my class. Before the time, you always see them. Before the time, you always see them. Just immediately. If I don't enter,
immediately or 10 minutes. That means that the class has become a class. But I believe it. So out of 10, what would you rate yourself?
9.
It's true. I believe it.
I believe it.
You also realize, what time is it? Mona Lisa. Rate yourself out of 10. 8. I believe. You see, when you see Monday out of 10, 7 or 8. Okay. Who can give themselves a strong 9? Like Martina. 9/10. In fact, Martina, I could have given her 9.5. Because rarely. So when you just look at your time, you say, no, this person cannot handle money. Because you can't handle time.
No, we can't give you money.
You will be tempted gradually to spend the money. It's true. So there's nobody that can give them 9 out of 10. Okay, another 9. Amazing. Okay, 9. Another, okay, Tracy, I believe. So they have
few nines.
Few nines. Okay, 8. Nobody can go against 8. Okay, 8. This one is genuine. Nobody's on your case. +1, -1. Take it like that.
Eight.
Okay, another eight. Yes. We are not going to come to 4.
We will not come to 4.
Pastor, calm down. We are not coming anywhere.
Yeah.
We are not coming to 16.
Yes. What's her name?
Ben. But I want you to be mine.
Mabel, what's your name?
Sorry? 8.
So?
You're going to learn to be punctual. It's a workers meeting. That's what I'm talking about. It's a workers meeting. Someone wants to ask themselves. Some of you can't be too quiet. You can't be
two.
Say, Pastor, before God and man, make it 1.5.
You can't even give two.
Don't do this with your life. By the grace of God.
Don't be like that.
So,
we're going to find a punch. 10:30. 10 o'clock, 10:10, you're already in the service. It speaks a lot to God. Punctual with tasks that are given to you. You can get to it in time. those who come to arrange this place, I've been telling them, don't be very lethargic. Get it very quickly. You know, there are some physical things that communicate spiritual realities, like movement. When you see him in ministry that is very active and moving, physicals, you'll be amazed that there's a spiritual source to that kind of movement. So when you see that people are slow, they don't even come around. It's like they are not really interested. It means that they just might be slow in the things God is also telling them to do. Because common is arranging, you can't arrange quickly. We still have to come and say, please, let's move quickly, fast. I mean, that's not how to sing. The people who watch you, they will not be encouraged to sing. They will not be encouraged. So there's a faithfulness to be that's needed.